Hamat Radio, wisdom for the ear from ancient Egypt. Writing was a sacred and holy practice by the ancient Egyptians. Carved in stone and written on papyrus is a whole world of wisdom, tales of great people, journeys to the afterlife, and much more. Join us as we unravel the scroll and decipher the writings to discover ancient Egyptian literature. Please consider becoming a patron on Patreon to have access to full, uncut, and ad-free episodes and other exclusive content. Please go to patreon.com/KamatAncientEgypt or follow the link on KamatRadio.com. Thank you.
Ahura was the wife of Neferkap-Ptah, and their child was Merib, as this was the name by which he was registered by the scribes in the House of Life. Neferkap-Ptah, though he was son of the king, cared for nothing on earth but to read the ancient texts, written on papyrus in the House of Life, or engraved on stone in the temples. All day and every day he studied the writings of the ancestors. One day he went into the temple to pray to the gods, but when he saw the inscriptions on the walls, he began to read them, and he forgot to pray. He forgot the gods. He forgot the priests. He forgot all that was around until he heard laughter behind him. He looked and saw a priest stood there, and from him came the laughter. "Why do you laugh at me?" said Neferkap-Ptah. "Because you read these worthless writings," answered the priest. "If you would read writings that are worth the reading, I can tell you where the Book of Thoth lies hidden." Then Neferkap-Ptah was eager in his questions, and the priest replied, "Thoth wrote the book with his own hand, and in it is all the magic in the world. If you read the first page, you will enchant the sky, the earth, the abyss, the mountains, and the sea. You will understand the language of the birds of the air, and you will know what the creeping things of the earth are saying, and you will see the fishes from the darkest depths of the sea. And if you read the other page, even though you were dead and in the world of ghosts, you could come back to earth in the form you once had. And besides this, you will see the sun shining in the sky with the moon and the stars, and you will behold the great shapes of the gods." Then said Neferkap-Ptah, "By the life of Pharaoh, that book shall be mine. Tell me whatsoever it is that you desire, and I will do it for you." "Provide for my funeral," said the priest. "See that I am buried as a rich man, with priests and mourning women, offerings, libations, and incense. Then shall my soul rest in peace in the field of reeds. 100 pieces of silver must be spent upon my burying." Then Neferkap-Ptah sent a fleet messenger to fetch the money, and he paid 100 pieces of silver into the priest's hands. When the priest had taken the silver, he said to Neferkap-Ptah, "The book is in Koptos, at the middle of the river. In the middle of the river is an iron box. In the iron box is a bronze box. In the bronze box is a kete wood box. In the kete wood box is an ivory and ebony box. In the ivory and ebony box is a silver box. In the silver box is a gold box. And in the gold box is the Book of Thoth. Round about the great iron box are snakes, and scorpions, and all manner of crawling things, and above all there is a snake which no man can kill. These are set to guard the Book of Thoth." When the priest had finished speaking, Neferkap-Ptah ran out of the temple, for his joy was so great that he knew not where he was. He ran quickly to Ahura to tell her about the book, and that he would go to Koptos to find it. But Ahura was very scornful and said, "Go not on this journey, for trouble and grief await you in the southern land." She laid her hand upon Neferkap-Ptah as though she would hold him back from the sorrow that awaited him. But he would not be restrained and broke away from her and went to the king, his father. He told the king all that he had learned and said, "Give me the royal barge, O my father, that I may go to the southern land with my wife Ahura and my son Merib, for the Book of Thoth I must and will have." So the king gave orders, and the royal barge was prepared, and in it Neferkapatach and Ahura and Merib sailed up the river to the southern land as far as Koptos. When they arrived at Koptos, the high priest and all the priests of Isis of Koptos came down to the river to welcome Neferkapatach, sacrificed an ox and a goose, and poured a libation of wine to Isis of Koptos and her son Kherpakhered. After this, the priests of Isis and their wives made a great feast for 4 days in honor of Neferkapatach and Ahura. On the morning of the 5th day, Neferkapatach called to him a priest of Isis, a great magician learned in all the mysteries of the gods, and together they made a little magic box, like the cabin of a boat. And they made men and a great store of tackle, and put the men and tackle in the magic cabin. Then they uttered a spell over the cabin, and the men breathed and were alive, and began to use the tackle. And Neferkapatach sank the magic cabin in the river, saying, "Workmen, workmen, work for me!" And he filled the royal barge with sand and sailed away alone, while Ahura sat on the bank of the river at Koptos and watched and waited, for she knew that sorrow must come of this journey to the southern land. The magic men in the magic cabin toiled all night and all day, for 3 nights and 3 days along the bottom of the river, and when they stopped, the royal barge stopped also, and Neferkapatach knew that he had arrived where the book lay hidden. He took the sand out of the royal barge and threw it into the water, and it made a gap in the river, a gap of a sconus long and a sconus wide. In the middle of the gap lay the iron box, and beside the box was coiled the great snake that no man can kill, and all around the box, on every side of the edge of the walls of water, were snakes and scorpions and all manner of crawling things.
Close your eyes and inhale deeply. Sense that will take you back through the ages to the mysteries of ancient Egypt. This great civilization was world-renowned for products pleasing to the senses, caring for the body, and protective to the skin. Years of research and testing were committed to reconstruct the most effective and luxurious bath, beauty, and fragrance products from ancient Egypt. Satya Nacharu, Sense of the Gods. Bath, Beauty, Aromas of Ancient Egypt. Find our products online at senseofthegods.com.
Then Neferkapatach stood up in the royal barge, and across the river he cried to the snakes and scorpions and crawling things, a loud and terrible cry, and the words were words of magic. As soon as his voice was still, the snakes and scorpions and crawling things were still also, for they were enchanted by means of the magical words of Neferkapatach, and they could not move. Neferkapatach brought the royal barge to the edge of the gap, and he walked through the snakes and scorpions and crawling things, and they looked at him, but could not move because of the spell that was on them. And now Neferkapatach was face to face with the snake that no man could kill, and it reared itself up ready for battle. Neferkapatach rushed upon it and cut off his head, and at once the head and body came together, each to each, and the snake that no man could kill was alive again, and ready for the fray. Again Neferkapatach rushed upon it, and so hard did he strike that the head was flung far from the body. But at once the head and the body came together again, each to each, and again the snake that no man could kill was alive and ready to fight. Then Neferkapatach saw that the snake was immortal, and could not be slain, but must be overcome by subtle means. Again he rushed upon it, and cut it in two, and very quickly he put sand on each part, so that when the head and body came together, there was sand between them, and they could not join. And the snake that no man could kill lay helpless before him. Then Neferkapatach went to the great box where it stood in the gap in the middle of the river, and the snakes and scorpions and crawling things watched, but they could not stop him. He opened the iron box and found a bronze box. He opened the bronze box and found a kete wood box. He opened the kete wood box and found an ivory and ebony box. He opened the ivory and ebony box and found a silver box. He opened the silver box and found a gold box. He opened the gold box and found the Book of Thoth. He opened the book and read a page, and at once he had enchanted the sky, the earth, the abyss, the mountains, and the sea, and he understood the language of birds, fish, and beasts. He read the second page, and he saw the sun shining in the sky, with the full moon and the stars, and he saw the great shapes of the gods themselves, and so strong was the magic that the fishes came up from the darkest depths of the sea. So he knew that what the priest had told him was true. Then he thought of Ahura waiting for him at Koptos, and he cast a magic spell upon the men that he had made, saying, "Workmen, workmen, work for me, and take me back to the place from which I came." They toiled day and night till they came to Koptos, and there was Ahura, sitting by the river, having eaten nothing and drunk nothing since Neferkah-Ptah went away, for she sat waiting and watching for the sorrow that was to come upon them. But when she saw Neferkah-Ptah returning in the royal barge, her heart was glad and she rejoiced exceedingly. Neferkah-Ptah came to her and put the Book of Thoth into her hands and bade her read it.
Ahakamat, Ancient Egyptian Combat. The fighters of ancient Egypt were the greatest and feared of the ancient world. Ahakamat employs the latest archaeological research to construct the lessons for you to learn, the secrets of the Ahatiu, the fighters of ancient Egypt. Find us online at ancientegyptcombat.com.
When she read the first page, she enchanted the sky, the earth, the abyss, the mountains, and the sea, and she understood the language of birds, fish, and beasts. And when she read the second page, she saw the sun shining in the sky with the full moon and the stars, and she saw the great shapes of the gods themselves. And so strong was the magic that the fishes came up from the darkest depths of the sea. Neferkah-Ptah now called for a piece of new papyrus and for a cup of beer, and on the papyrus he wrote all the spells that were in the Book of Thoth. Then he took the cup of beer and washed the papyrus in the beer, so that all the ink was washed off, and the papyrus became as though it had never been written on. And Neferkah-Ptah drank the beer, and at once he knew all the spells that had been written on the papyrus, for this is the method of the great magicians. Then Neferkah-Ptah and Ahura went to the temple of Isis and gave offerings to Isis and Kherpakhered and made a great feast. And the next day they went on board the royal barge and sailed joyfully away down the river toward the northern land. But behold, Thoth had discovered the loss of his book, and Thoth raged like a panther of the south, and he hastened before Ra and told him all, saying, "Neferkah-Ptah has found my magic box and opened it, and he has stolen my book, even the Book of Thoth. He slew the guards that surrounded it, and the snake that no man can kill lay helpless before him. Avenge me, O Ra, upon Neferkah-Ptah, son of the king of Egypt." The majesty of Ra answered and said, "Take him and his wife and his child, and do with them as you will." And now the sorrow for which Ahura watched and waited was about to come upon them, for Thoth took with him a power from Ra to give him his desire upon the stealer of the book. As the royal barge sailed smoothly down the river, the little boy Mer'ib ran out from the shade of the awning and leaned over his side watching the water, and the power of Ra drew him so that he fell into the river and was drowned. When he fell, all the sailors on the royal barge and all the people walking on the river bank raised a great cry, but they could not save him. Neferkah-Ptah came out of the cabin and read a magical spell over the water, and the body of Mer'ib came to the surface, and they brought it on board the royal barge. Then Neferkaptah read another spell, and so great was its power that the dead child spoke and told Neferkaptah all that had happened among the gods, that Thoth was seeking vengeance, and that Ra had granted him his desire upon the stealer of the book. Neferkaptah gave command, and the royal barge returned to Koptos, that Mer'ib might be buried there with the honor due to the son of the prince. When the funeral ceremonies were over, the royal barge sailed down the river toward the northern land. A joyful journey was it no longer, for Mer'ib was dead, and Ahura's heart was heavy on account of the sorrow that was still to come, for the vengeance of Thoth was not yet fulfilled. They reached the place where Mer'ib had fallen into the water, and Ahura came out from under the shade of the awning, and she leaned over the side of the barge, and the power of Ra drew her so that she fell into the river and was drowned. When she fell, all the sailors in the royal barge and all the people walking on the river bank raised a great cry, but they could not save her. Neferkaptah came out of the cabin and read a magical spell over the water, and the body of Ahura came to the surface, and they brought it on board the royal barge. Then Neferkaptah read another spell, and so great was its power that the dead woman spoke and told Neferkaptah all that had happened among the gods, that Thoth was still seeking vengeance, and that Ra had granted him his desire upon the stealer of the book. Neferkaptah gave command, and the royal barge returned to Koptos, that Ahura might be buried there with the honor due to the daughter of the king. When the funeral ceremonies were over, the royal barge sailed down the river towards the northern land. A sorrowful journey it was now, for Ahura and Mer'ib were dead, and the vengeance of Thoth was not yet fulfilled. They reached the place where Ahura and Mer'ib had fallen into the water, and Neferkaptah felt the power of Ra drawing him. Though he struggled against it, he knew it would conquer him. He took a piece of royal linen, fine and strong, and made it into a girdle, and with it he bound the book of Thoth firmly to his breast, for he was resolved that Thoth would never have his book again. Then the power drew him yet more strongly, and he came from under the shade of the awning and threw himself into the river and was drowned. When he fell, all the sailors of the royal barge and all the people walking on the river bank raised a great cry, but they could not save him. And when they looked for his body, they could not find it, for the royal barge sailed down the river till they reached the northern land and came to Menether. And the chiefs of the royal barge went to the king and told him all that had happened. The king put on his mourning raiment, he and his courtiers, the high priest, and all the priests of Menether. The king's army and the king's household were clothed in the mourning apparel, and they walked in procession to the haven of Menether, to the royal barge. When they came to the haven, they saw the body of Neferkaptah floating in the water beside the barge, close to the great steering oars. And this marvel came to pass because of the magical powers of Neferkaptah. Even in death he was a great magician by reason of the spells he had washed off the papyrus and drunk in the beer. Then they drew him out of the water, and they saw the book of Thoth bound to his breast with a girdle of royal linen. And the king gave command that they should bury Neferkaptah with the honor due to the son of the king, and that the book of Thoth should be buried with him. Thus was the vengeance of Thoth fulfilled, but the book remained with Neferkaptah.
Ancient Egyptian Literature is a production of Kamat Radio. Visit us online at kamatradio.com. KAMAT radio.com. Kamat Radio is brought to you by Kamat, Reconstructing Ancient Egyptian Culture. Find them online at reconstructingancientegypt.org. Kamat Radio, wisdom for the ear from ancient Egypt.